study, and if you take your Bible this evening and turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus in the 28th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study this evening. Exodus chapter 28. And if you would, read one verse with me, verse 36. In Exodus 28, in verse 36, notice what the divine word of God says. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Zechariah and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Zechariah and the 14th chapter, notice verse 20. In Zechariah 14:20, it says, in that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved upon the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Then, if you take your New Testament, turn to the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to the last book in the Bible, the Divine Revelation, you'll find John writing. And in Revelation 22, look, if you will, at verse 4 and 5. In verse 4, it says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. Now, these three scriptures, scattered widely throughout the Bible, are somewhat connected with one another. And what I'd like to do tonight is to talk about the inscription, holiness unto the Lord. The first thing I'd like for us to do is go back to the book of Exodus and the 28th chapter and take note that at this time that God is instructing Moses upon the priestly garments. And they said that they were to make a mitre or a headband for the high priest to wear. And the priests were to wear this mitre, and upon the mitre was the inscription, holiness unto the Lord. And this to Israel was to represent two different things. First, when they saw the priest, they recognized he was to stand for the purpose of worship. And secondly, the mitre was to remind them that they were the people of covenant. The mitre was not to set the priest apart, but to include all the people under the covenant, those consecrated by God. And when they looked upon the priest and saw that golden mitre or headband with the inscription, holiness unto the Lord, inscribed there, they were reminded they were sanctified. They were a people set apart from the world. They didn't live like the world. They didn't do the things the world did, but they followed the covenant that they had made with the God of heaven. But now then, notice they were to be living holy lives. Not just purity, not just morality, but holiness. That is being set apart. They had a right relationship with God. But how was they set apart? How were they different than any other nation? Well, they were to surrender themselves to the will of God. They were to yield themselves, and they were to put God's word as their guiding light. Thus, they were people that understood holiness unto the Lord. They submitted to the covenant they made with the God of heaven. So under the reign of Moses, the priest would represent to them that which was holy. That through God's covenant, through God's mercy, they were a nation, a people set apart. But now then, if you take your Bible, notice in the book of Zechariah and the 14th chapter that statement is brought out again. In Zechariah chapter 14, you'll find that at this time, it is upon the bells of the horses. Look again in verses 20 and 21. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now first notice the prophet speaks about horses. Horses in that day and time were used only for show after a war, pomp and circumstance, if you will. And Zechariah is prophesying about the kingdom that would come under Christ. Go back to Zechariah chapter 9 for just a moment. In Zechariah chapter 9, if you will, drop down to verse 10. In verse 10, he said, I will cut the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's prophesying of the coming of Christ. The war horses will have been cut off from Jerusalem. Therefore, the figure here is that instead of these horses being for war, they will be holy to the Lord, consecrated for a better and nobler service. Then look at what he says about the pots and bowls. He said they would be holy. Now, none of them would be considered clean in the home. You had that which was set apart in the temple. But he says now all these will be called holy. Why? It was a prophecy of the kingdom being established and that things that were common or unclean would become clean. We see that in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter when Peter saw the vision upon the food of the Levites. Remember that they had a certain dietary restriction, but then God sent down all the food, all the animals, and said, take, eat, Peter. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean's ever touched my lips. And he said, what God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. So there here he is saying that there are no distinction in services or ministry. In our day, all are priests. You know, isn't it wonderful that you think in 1 Peter 2:9, we are a royal priesthood? Now, after lunch today, Brother Clifford came to me and he bowed and confessed his sin of gluttony. And I was about to bow and confess my sin as well. But you know, I'm grateful we don't have to do that. We confess our sins one to another. But it's not we go to some individual and say, here is my sin. You know what we are able to do? As priests, we're able to pray to God ourselves. We don't go through a hierarchy. We go to Christ ourselves. And now, my friend, we are sanctified and set apart to the service of the Lord. And we do this in worship, and we do this in life. Not everything in life is worship, but everything should be according to the will of God, and that makes it holy, set apart for God. But now then, look in the Revelation letter and the 22nd chapter. And when you come to Revelation 22, look, if you will, again at verse 4. And this time, there's a little bit of a difference in the inscription. In Revelation 22 and verse 4, they said, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. I like that statement. This imagery goes back to the first point we made about the high priest. And John gives attention to priestly service. And in Revelation 22, John saw in his mind that old image of the priest wearing the mitre. And he sees the saints before the throne of God, and each with an inscription. But notice here is only the name. Look at what it says again. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. You know what that shows? Absolute ownership. You belong to God. His name is written there. And we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him, as John says in 1 John 3:2. I want to take that, make application in the lesson journeys. The first thing I want us to think about is we are saints. Isn't that wonderful tonight to know that we're saints? Now, the Catholic Church has their mind made up of what saints are. And if you're a part of the Catholic Church, I have no animosity towards you or your people. But I want us to understand that a saint is not someone who goes through the vote of the Catholic Church. A saint is someone who belongs to God. They've been forgiven of their sin by the blood of Christ. They've been baptized for the remission of sins. They've been added to the family of God. And now they're a saint. That doesn't mean they're perfect. It means they've been redeemed and set apart and have a relationship with God. And they live a holy life surrendered to God. And when we yield our will to God and surrender all to Him, then we begin to write upon our foreheads for all to see holiness unto the Lord. We are a people that people will be able to notice Christ in us, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20. That we are different than the world. We're separate from the world. We're sanctified, consecrated. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And when people see that there's something different about us, they may investigate further. Secondly, in daily life, every individual and every principle of worship and service has been cleansed and dedicated by the blood of Christ. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew and the 26th chapter, notice, if you will kindly, what Jesus said in verse 28. In verse 28, after He had given them of the fruit of the vine, He said, "This is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice, my friend, that our sins have been blotted out. Our sins have been remitted through what? His blood. It's through the blood of Christ. In Christ, we are redeemed and we become children of God. We become priests of God. We become kings with God. In Christ, there's no distinction. Remember in Romans 3, 21 through 23, He said, "All have sinned, yet we've been redeemed by Christ." We are part of His bride when we look at the glorious church. If I'm a member of the body of Christ, I'm a part of the bride of Christ. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, notice, if you will, verses 26 and 27. He said that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should watch it be holy and without blemish. Holiness unto the Lord. Do you see the point that's being made? Do you see that we're to be a holy people? Holy, not just pure, but set apart. Living a life that is a sacrifice to God. Look in Romans chapter 12. When the Apostle Paul was penning this letter, notice what he has to say in verses 1 and 2. "I beseech," or "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Watch that next word. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Our service is to show the holiness of the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Well, in Matthew 5:16, He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." James tells us in James 2, we show our faith by our works. And so the question is, can people see holiness unto the Lord through us? The other day I was talking with Brandon, and we was talking about, it seems like when I go into town, Mary has always told me this, that there could be 200 people in a crowd, and if someone wanted to look for someone to pick money from, they would always ask me, because I've got "sucker" written on my forehead. And Mary's always said, "You're a sucker." Well, you think about that, in one sense, that is not something you really want revealed, that you're naive. But I will tell you one thing you do want revealed is that you're holy. And you know that should almost be written on our foreheads by the life that we live, that we're holy and separate from the world, that we're not better than anyone, we're not perfect, but we are set apart, we're redeemed, and we are surrendering our life to God. And we're thinking about heaven, being in the presence of the Lord, the redeemed as servants, and only holiness dwells in heaven. You ever thought of that? You know what sin really is when you look at it? You want to know what hell really is? Hell is really sin continuing without the passing pleasure. It's a continuation of a life without God, except for in hell there's punishment and destruction, but there's also no passing pleasure. Heaven is the opposite. Heaven will be a continuation of a life of holiness, but without the corruption of sin involved. And you'll be with God forever. You don't think sin affects people? I'll tell you, my friend, you want to watch the nightly news, there's a murder almost every night in Nashville, You see people involved in drugs. You see people involved in all kinds of iniquity. And I'll tell you, there's no happiness in there. There may be passing pleasure. I knew a young lady in Nashville, Tennessee that I had worked with. I'd baptized her husband. I believe I baptized her. But she had such a problem with drugs that she got to such a low point, she was prostituting herself for money. And we say the passing pleasure of sin. That's all it is a passing pleasure. It goes away. And I'll tell you, there's misery here because of sin, but there's misery more in hell because you're separated from God for eternity. But in heaven, there will be holiness. There will be fellowship. There will be joy. And the question is, can you see your holiness unto the Lord? The question is, can others see your holiness? Upon your forehead is the name Christ there. Do you belong to Him? If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, our prayer is that you would be baptized so you can put upon your head holiness unto the Lord as to